to hear you fight. Baby, you can't say what you're doing is right. No, you can't say what you're doing is right. No, you can't say what you're doing is right. No, you can't say what you're doing is right. No, you can't say what you're doing is right.
Hey, this is Amanda Palmer and the Grand Theft Orchestra, and you're listening to WMFO Medford.
Right. Hello, everybody. This is your host, DJ EJ, and you're listening to The Archive on 91.5 FM WMFO Medford Tufts Freeform Radio. Hope you all are having a good week so far, and you had a good day at work or in classes or whatever you've been doing for the past 8 hours. This is actually closer to the beginning of the week than it usually is for me, since being in the Boston area, we had yesterday off for Patriots Day, which was very nice. Got to catch up on work and sleep and all that kind of stuff. So now hopefully everybody's feeling refreshed, and the fact that it's a 4-day week this week is only further motivation to get going on all the stuff that we need to be doing. All right, so the past 2 weeks, I've opened up my sets with tracks by Brockhampton. 2 weeks ago, I played a track of theirs from their debut studio album, Saturation, which came out last June. And then last week, I played a track from Saturation 2, which came out sometime after that, probably August. And if you have any sense of pattern recognition, you can probably guess what I'm about to play now, considering they had 3 albums that came out last year. So I'm just going to leave it at that and let you enjoy what I have in store for you. This is Brockhampton.
I used to work for people. I made a couple $100s, wasn't worth it even. I'm worth $100,000, not dollars but diamonds. I am mud out the bayou, rip a page out the Bible, come and crucify me. I'm a long way from home and this ain't Yellowstone. I trade a white dick for catfish and yellow bones. This from the catacombs, this for the broken homes. From the south side of cities where my granny home. I move to California, I bring a Grammy home. I call a bill collector. Leave my family alone. We left the corner store on the way to Caviar. The coupe is mustard color. What the fuck of Grey Poupon?
Young K.A., never quit your day job. I bring the love to work. I need the day off. I need the this hard work should pay off. The lights stay off until my mind is made up. A young Zuckerberg, I wake up and make stuff. These niggas copy us, they really need to pay us. I'm from the city where your neighbors fight back. You talking shit, I bring that work right to your lap. I love my niggas like white people love rap. We make the dish and probably never stay on track again.
no love from them. I paid my own bills and came up with the illish. I was trying to find a way to get my family out of it. Spent my days in basements trying to write the motherfucking hit. Nowadays he's stumbling, they show such love to him. I shut it down to every show, we set the precedent. I'm just trying to show these niggas life is on some other issue. Keep your head high, smile when the trouble rumbling.
I don't do what they say, it's unorthodox. Like bears sharing porridge inside with Goldilocks. Like Ozzy with no Sharon, he just call his parents. So fuck what I'm doing and fuck these damn critics. You should think for yourself that this shit's cancerous. Get my head rubbed by fingers of hand models. Middle finger, fuck up the hair up at all our concerts. Maybe if I cared less, I'd wear a hairnet. But now my eyes 10 million by 25. Dropped out a Lone Star, but flight from Lone Star. Was working a couple jobs and quit, became a star,
Brockhampton, that is from Saturation 3, which came out this past December, and that track is called Alaska. Like I said, that's Saturation 3, so it's pretty evident that that's the third album in their recent trilogy, all called Saturation, and that's what kept them busy all of last year, which is pretty obvious, I guess, that it would keep somebody busy or a group busy to come out with three high quality studio albums in 1 year, especially all following like a single kind of theme, and also organizing all the members of the group because there's like 15 of them or something, I don't know, it's at least 10, and it's pretty difficult doing something with just two people, to be honest. So yeah, big props to them. What else is there to say about that? Oh, yeah, I just realized when I was listening back to the track right now, but there was a line in the track said by Kevin Abstract where, to paraphrase, he said, "I love my friends like white people love rap." And I just realized that this is pretty relevant to this next track that I have coming up for you, given what's happened with the what's happened very recently, actually a couple of days ago, to the artist of the track. And this artist of this track that's coming up for you is Kendrick Lamar.
America, God bless you if it's good to you.
The ark to a pool full of sharks, he'll take it. Leave him in the wilderness with a sworn nemesis, he'll make it. Take the gratitude from him, I bet he'll show you something. Whoa. I chip a little bit of nothing. I chip a little bit of nothing. I chip a little bit of nothing. I chip a then throw the in his lap, walk myself to the court like, bitch, I did that, X-rated. Johnny don't wanna go to school no more, no more. Johnny said books ain't cool no more. Johnny wanna be a rapper like his big cousin. Johnny caught a body yesterday out hustling. God bless America, you know we all love him.
Yesterday I got a call like from my dog like 101. Said they killed his only son because of insufficient funds. He was sobbing, he was mobbing, way belligerent and drunk. Talking out his head, philosophing on what the Lord had done. He said, kid, can you pray for me? It been a f***ed up day for me. I know that you anointed, show me how to overcome. He was looking for some closure, hoping I can bring him closer to the spiritual. My spirit do no better, but I told him I can't sugarcoat the answer for you. This is how I feel. If somebody killed my son, that means somebody can tell me what you do for love. Loyalty and passion of all the memories collected, moments you can never touch. I went in front of the spot and watch him hit his block. I catch a nigga leaving service if that's all I got. I chip a nigga then throw the in his lap, walk myself to the court like, bitch, I did that. Ain't no black power when your baby killed by a coward. I can't even keep the peace. Don't you f*** up 1 hour, it be murder in the street. It be bodies in the hour, ghetto burby on the street. Paramedics on the dial, let somebody touch my mama, touch my sister, touch my woman, touch my daddy, touch my niece, touch my nephew, touch my brother. You should chip a n***a, then throw the f*** in his lap. Matter of fact, I'm about to speak at this convention, call you back.
All right, kids, we gonna talk about gun control.
Pray for me.
America's reflections of me, that's what America does.
It's not a place, this country is to me a sound of drum and bass. You close your eyes to look around.
That one was by Kendrick Lamar from his album from 2017, last year, called Damn. And the track is called Triple X, featuring U2. You probably recognize Bono's voice there at the end, doing that little chorus in the second half of the track. And as I mentioned before I played the track, this album is, or Kendrick Lamar has had a pretty big couple of past days, I guess, because his album Damn won the Pulitzer Prize for Music. And not only is that the first... Not only is Kendrick Lamar the first hip-hop artist to be recognized by the Pulitzer Prize for Music, but he's actually the first non-classical, non-jazz artist. So there's never been a rock artist who's won, there's never been a pop artist who's won. So this is pretty huge for not only for hip-hop and rap, but for popular music in general. And it also kind of proves that... people are viewing hip-hop with more respect nowadays, especially like the people who might not necessarily be too involved in like its early roots, such as a lot of the people who would be deciding who would win the Pulitzer Award. So yeah, it's showing that people are viewing hip-hop as more than just some kind of underground niche thing, and that it actually can be high art music. And Kendrick Lamar is definitely the one to be turning hip-hop into high art music, because Damn is a fantastic album, and his album before that, To Pimp a Butterfly, which came out in 2015, is even more fantastic. It's incredible. Check out basically anything by him if you aren't familiar, and you'll probably come around to it eventually, because I certainly did. Yeah, so that was kind of talking about how Kendrick Lamar, there we go, how he and hip-hop are kind of being viewed as modern classics. And these next two songs that I have coming up for you, I don't think anybody ever would argue that they aren't classics. These are from the late 70s, early 80s. I think these are two of the best songs of all time, in both my opinion and in maybe the general consensus. And what's even more interesting is that they have a common figure that helped out both artists achieve their goals, I guess, or achieve their acclaim, because this person was very influential and helpful in assisting certain new wave post-punk kind of artists in this time, and he's had his own successes all over over the past 40-something years now. I guess they need no further introduction, so I'm actually not even going to say who they are. I'm just going to jump straight into it. So here we go.
I'm not afraid to mental health. You may ask yourself, where does that highway go to? And you may ask yourself, am I right? Am I wrong? And you may say to yourself, my God, what have I done?
Letting the days go by, let the water hold me down. Letting the days go by, water flowing underground into the blue again, into the silent water.
Okay, two absolute classics right there. The first one was Heroes by David Bowie, which is the title track from his 1977 album, Heroes. That is the first of one of his own trilogies, the Berlin Trilogy, as it's called, which includes Low, also from 1977, Heroes, and Lodger, which I think is from 1979. And all of them are fantastic albums, really experimental stuff. I think David Bowie was living in Berlin with Iggy Pop at the time, or maybe it was Lou Reed. I don't know. He's always hanging out with the two of them wherever he was. And yeah, Heroes, overall, it's a great album. I think I might prefer Low slightly more, but you can't really deny that Heroes, the track, is probably the strongest song from all three albums. There's a reason why it was a single and why it was so critically acclaimed and why it's so famous and why it's been used in so many movies and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. I think that's probably one of his greatest vocal performances ever, especially when he like jumps up an octave halfway through and the I will be king and you will be queen and nothing will tear us away, something like that. I actually don't know the words too well, but just the sound of his voice and his vocal inflections are enough to sell me on it. And also there's the fantastic kind of hovering lead guitar synthesizer melody in the background over the main riff. And I believe that's a combination of David Bowie and Robert Fripp from King Crimson and Brian Eno. And Brian Eno was the secret mystery figure I kind of alluded to before I played these last two tracks. He was heavily involved in the making of the Heroes album. And I think he was involved with all three of the Berlin Trilogy albums, being Low, Heroes, and Lodger, as I said before. And yeah, Brian Eno was way ahead of his time. He kind of invented the entire ambient genre, which has really taken off in so many different directions, so that's pretty impressive. And yeah, he's done so many sound treatments for artists. And that brings me to the track that you just heard, which of course was Talking Heads' Once in a Lifetime. That comes from their 1980 album, Remain in Light, which is one of my absolute favorite albums. Every track on it is fantastic. Also way ahead of its time, blending in new wave with like synthesizers and kind of a emphasis on world music, especially in the percussion sections. You can hear all like a pretty African influenced drum beats in that song, as well as many others on the album. And Brian Eno, I think what he did for that one was he did the synthesizers in the background, as he usually does, and also he suggested that they offset the chorus of the song by a beat. So there's like an extra beat before the chorus, and you lose a beat when you're going back to the verse, which I think is fascinating. And the first time that I heard that song, I kind of took me a couple of cycles to figure out what was really going on, because it feels like it's two separate worlds that are being juxtaposed next to each other. And there's the pretty hopeful chorus, or like, I guess it's kind of like spiritual in a way, talking about letting the water wash you down. And then there's the verses, which seem pretty dreamlike and kind of confused, just trying to figure out where all this stuff came from, and if it's real, this large automobile, this beautiful house, this beautiful wife, etc. And yeah, David Byrne's delivery, of course, is on point as it always is, and really can't find much to fault with in that song. So yeah, that's David Bowie and Talking Heads, two of the most important figures in late 70s music, whether it's underground or mainstream. And that's about it for that. So I have one more track before our mid-show break, and this track is by Animal Collective. And here we go. We'll be right back. Okay, that one was by Animal Collective, and the track is called Bluish, and that is from their 2009 album Merryweather Post Pavilion, which I think is a venue, a concert venue in maybe, I don't know why, but I'm thinking it's either Connecticut or Arizona. Don't ask why those are the two that come to mind, but I feel like it's one of the two. But anyway, yeah, that's a fantastic album. That is their like Animal Collective go pop album, which for a lot of artists doesn't really work out too well in my opinion, although I tend to prefer more underground kind of styles, but I think they totally succeeded, and they made everything sound way sweeter and more refined while still keeping them interesting in terms of songwriting and texture and melodies and all that kind of stuff. And seeing as it's now halfway through April and hopefully we got the last snow of the season this past Sunday, at least in Boston, it's spring is right around the corner, and this album for me screams spring. So once the warmer weather starts coming around, I definitely am listening to this album. And also, I think all of the melodies in this track in particular are absolutely addicting, especially the chorus. I'm not very good with words, so I don't really know what he's saying, but it's pretty beautiful. Yeah, so that about wraps up the first half of the archive for today. In case you just joined us and you tuned in late, I'm your host, DJ EJ, and you're listening to The Archive on 91.5 FM WMFO Medford Tufts Freeform Radio. And I figure the time is ripe for a little mid-hour PSA. So here we go.
Vicky, how you doing? How's the knee?
It's coming along, doctor, but still some soreness.
Well, let's see. You know, this soon after surgery, some pain is pretty normal.
I was hoping to get more painkillers. The first round worked great.
We're being very careful with those now. Prescription painkillers are opioids, same as heroin. It's easy to start taking them, not so easy to stop.
Last year in America, an average of 40 people died from opioid abuse every day. Long-term addiction has become America's newest health epidemic.
So no pills?
Vicky, you're doing great. So let's try these anti-inflammatories, plus your physical therapy. If the soreness doesn't continue to get better, give me a call.
For opioids, the smaller the dose prescribed and taken, the better. Because even a few prescription painkillers can sometimes go a long, wrong way. A message from the American Academy of Orthopedic Surgeons and the Orthopedic Trauma Association. Visit orthoinfo.org/prescription safety.
All right, yeah, definitely watch out with your opioids if you have a prescription. If you don't have a prescription, try to do everything you can to stay that way. Because this crisis is really getting out of control. And actually, I just read the other day, I think it was yesterday, that Bernie Sanders is trying to arrest some of the big pharma CEOs who have been pushing all this fentanyl and whatever else there is. He's trying to get them imprisoned, which would be interesting to say the least. But anyway, politics aside. So to be honest, when I first started setting out and making this week's playlist, I was kind of stumped because I hadn't really been listening to too much music this week, but then I thought about it and that I realized the reason why I haven't been listening to too much music is because I've been too busy making music. So the rest of the hour is some tasty treats recorded by yours truly. And the first two are going to be covers, and I'm going to leave you off with an original. So let's get the covers out of the way first. This one is by the one and only Mr. Kanye West.
Sleep is in you.
All right. Those two were covers recorded by me. The first one that you heard was Say You Will by Kanye West, and that's the first track from his 2008 album, 808s and Heartbreak. And speaking of 808s, it sounds like I mixed the 808 bass way too loud, and it kind of caused the rest of the signal to compress because of the limiter. So if you know anything about audio, I apologize. If you don't, then carry on. But yeah, Say You Will. I think that's definitely, it's probably the best song on 808s and Heartbreak. And it's definitely one of Kanye West's best songs from his career, I think. When that album came out, a lot of people were complaining about the use of autotune and saying, oh, he can't sing, why is he using autotune and all that kind of stuff. And while it is true that he can't sing, I think the autotune actually works in his favor, partly because it keeps his pitch better, but also because it kind of makes him sound colder and more robotic and more emotionless. And I think that really gets across the point of that whole album, because I think his mother passed away during the making of it, and he broke up with his fiance or something like that, and it wasn't a great time for him. So that was his, quote, breakup album. And I think the use of autotune kind of enhanced it. So there's that. And the song that you just heard was a cover of a Swans track. That track is called Mind, Body, Light, Sound, as was said multiple times in the song. And that comes off of their 1995 album, The Great Annihilator, which, if you're trying to get into Swans, that might be a good starting point, because it's probably their most accessible album. It's pretty solidly in the post-punk kind of gothic genre, nothing too difficult or abrasive. And yeah, great album, though. Certainly stands up with the rest of them. So yeah, those are two covers that I've recorded over the past week. And that's about it for this week. I have one more track, which is an original, which is coming up right after this. But before then, I just want to say thanks for listening. I've been DJ EJ, and you've been listening to The Archive on 91.5 FM, WMFO Medford, TUS Freeform Radio. Glad to have you with me today. Hope you enjoyed the tunes, and I hope to have you back here with me next Tuesday from 5 to 6 p.m. And with that, I'll leave you off with this last song. Have a good week.
had said.